And now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Happy holidays out there, and we hope you will spare us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are looking forward to your participation out there. Feel free to give us a call with a question or answer. We'll be giving you questions momentarily, but if you have one in your mind you'd like to ask, then please feel free to do that. The two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, just about everything else. So all we require of you is to sit by the radio and listen for a little while and hopefully give us a call. Again, 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Our lines are mostly open right now. I believe the one dedicated to Hayward is occupied, but all the other ones are open. And so give us a call as soon as you can. Sometimes we do get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, but if you call soon, we will get you on, I promise. Just to remind you of our new email address, and I'm going to keep saying it's new for the next few months, which is mindsovermatter, MINDSOVERMATTER 1. That is the numeral 1. As Josh pointed out, Minds Over Matter was already taken. That is mindsovermatter 1, the numeral 1, at gmail.com. So feel free to send your questions and comments and criticisms there. Also, if you'd like to hear this show online, you can do that anywhere in the world by going to kalw.org. That is kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of the show, it should be available, since the lovely and talented Debbie is here tonight, also at kalw.org soon after our show, and iTunes or wherever reasonably good shows are stored. So we are start with a round of introductions, and here's the first. Kira Pace is looking forward to lighting her menorah this week. And then when Hanukkah is over, she's looking forward to placing a teeny red hat atop said menorah and referring to it as her Santalabra for the rest of the year.
I mean, a no fuss, no muss okay. Kind of seasonal decorator.
Santalabra. I like
Santalabra,
that.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. So Joshua Cosman is perfectly ready to bid adieu to the garbage fire of 2017 while bracing himself for whatever fresh horrors the new year may bring.
Yeah. Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, just heard an ad for the perfect Christmas gift for all ages, a crowbar laser engraved with your name.
No, it's a crowbar with your name laser printed on it.
Oh, I misunderstood. I'm sorry. A crowbar laser engraved with your name.
That is correct. I feel like if you have a laser, you kind of don't need the crowbar anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
You win.
I see that I missed
That's all right.
I missed the entire point.
You did. You did. That's all right. You have compensating qualities in your personality.
I try.
All right. We will start with Kira Pace.
All right. Where do I want to start today? Sorry. I should have looked at this. All right. How about this? So the Beastie Boys Sure Shot. This is for you,
that
Dana.
That was the sound of Dana and me going,
it's
we're
better.
Out of here.
It just gets, no, it better, gets better and better. Doesn't it?
It will, though. The Beastie Boys Sure Shot. The Mamas and Papas California Dreamin'. Van McCoy, Do the Hustle. Rolling Stones, Ruby Tuesday. The Association, Along Comes Mary. And David Bowie, Moon Age Daydream. They all feature what instrument that is not part of the typical rock band setup?
Ooh.
Would you like that list again?
Please.
Beastie Boys, Sure Shot. The Mamas and the Papas, California Dreamin'. Van McCoy, Do the Hustle. Rolling Stones, Ruby Tuesday. The Association, Along Comes Mary, and David Bowie's Moon Age Daydream. They all feature an instrument that is not part of the typical rock band setup. What is that instrument?
All right.
It is the flute.
Yes. I very purposely did not add anything about the heavy...
Hocus Pocus by Focus?
The 1989 Grammy winner for hard rock.
Jethro Tull. Yes.
Okay, but don't disrespect Jethro Tull around me.
That's why I wrote this question.
Very good.
Okay. Do you want another one?
Yes. It can only get better for me.
I can tell.
There was nothing the matter with that question.
So. Oh, just you wait. So I've got a three-parter for you. What corporate mascot and character from television commercials won a Razzie for Worst Actor for his participation in a 1989 flop? Part two, what is the name of this movie? And part three, for more than 15 years, what actor has regularly appeared on Conan O'Brien to show a clip from this movie instead of one from whatever film he happens to be promoting at the time?
Once more.
What corporate mascot and character from television commercials won a Razzie for Worst Actor for his participation in a 1989 flop? What was the name of this movie? And for more than 15 years, what actor has regularly appeared on Conan O'Brien to show a clip from this movie instead of one from whatever film he happens to be promoting at the time?
Hmm. That's one of the reasons I love Conan O'Brien's show.
Yeah.
He does things like this.
Yeah. Well, this particular one is done to him for the past 15 years.
All right. 1989. How do we know this person? I mean, is this person really quite well known as an actor?
The corporate mascot is very well known as a corporate mascot.
I'm sorry.
Very well known. The actor is pretty darn well known himself.
The actor in part three.
Yes.
How about Ronald McDonald?
Ronald McDonald is correct.
All right.
So Ronald McDonald won the 1989 Razzie for Worst Actor.
What movie was he in?
Not Shakes the Clown, is it?
No, that's a great movie,
Thank you, by the way. Yes.
The Citizen Kane of alcoholic clown movies.
Yep.
89.
Florence Henderson's greatest role.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she's wonderful. Yeah. And then Robin Williams is Mime Jerry.
Oh, right. That's right.
Mm. Okay. Leave that.
I don't know.
And Josh, you go ahead, too.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to pop music up on here, but Kira's here, and I promised her this. The last time I was here, Kira and I were here together. I had a list.
I don't want any secret deals behind my back.
This was right out in front of everybody. I promised.
All right.
I had a list of words that appear exactly once in Beatles lyrics.
Okay.
And I had 12 of them, and I dropped 6 of them last time, and I promised you I'd come back with the other 6.
Oh.
So here they are.
Okay.
You ready?
I will probably get the same number as last time, which was 0.
No, these are easier.
Okay.
So these are, just to be clear, these are words that appear exactly one time anywhere in the Beatles lyrics, and I want to know what song contains these words. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Cottage. Perverted. Lemonade. Colder, pornographic, and teaser, T-E-A-S-E-R. One more time. These are all words that appear exactly once in anywhere in the lyrics of any of the Beatles songs, and I want to know what song contains these words. Cottage, perverted, lemonade, colder, pornographic, and teaser.
Is Cottage from the Sgt. Pepper?
Yes.
Is it maybe When I'm 64?
It is When I'm 64.
Oh, my God, I actually got it.
Cottage in the Isle of Wight,
if it's not
too dear.
Okay.
And
well done.
Pornographic is from I'm the Walrus.
Yes. Good. Well done. Can you do the whole line?
Pornographic priestess. That's as far as I get.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Okay.
Pornographic priestess is exactly right in I Am the Walrus.
All right. And
we'll leave the other ones out here. They are, again, perverted. Lemonade, colder, teaser. If you know any of the songs that contain those words, call in because they only appear once. So if you know any song that has them, that's the right answer.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Upper Matter.
Hi, it's Sheldon. Not in Hayward, but in Richmond on a boat.
All right, Sheldon. Hi.
Hi. Kira beat me to pornographic. I have that one.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Give him a bell.
All right. I always get bells for porno.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1965 episode special of Charlie Brown Christmas, Snoopy grabs Linus's blanket and in the game of Crack the Whip, flings Charlie Brown and Linus. And in the show, you see Charlie Brown hit a tree, but you never see Linus. Why don't you see Linus?
Did the great pumpkin come and snatch him up?
No.
This is Charlie Brown Christmas. Is that what you said?
Yep, Charlie Brown Christmas.
So you don't see Linus. Is it because of an action or because of continuity problem or?
It's because of the content.
Content. You mean, is it, when you say content, is it something to do with something that children shouldn't see?
No, you saw it the first time the episode was shown, but it hasn't been shown in any of the subsequent rebroadcasts.
So would you call it some form of censorship then?
No.
All right. Then why wouldn't they have it in all the other broadcasts?
Was it something religious or corporate related?
Corporate related.
All right. Yeah. So does he fall on maybe a product that is a competing advertiser or that competes with one of the advertisers that sponsors the showing of Charlie Brown Christmas?
Yes.
Okay. So is it that would be either Coca-Cola or McDonald's, I guess, or Coca-Cola or McDonald's?
Yes, he hit a Coca-Cola sign, and Coca-Cola was the sponsor of the first broadcast.
Wow, right. Well done.
All right.
Yeah. I was privileged to see that at the Charlie Brown Museum, at the Charles Schulz Museum up in Santa Rosa this weekend, so it was kind of fun.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, thanks. Great show.
Thank you very much. All right, I'm going to give you the definitions of some two-letter words. I want you to tell me what they are. Okay, I'll give you each one guess. There are five. Again, these are two-letter words I'm looking for. I'll give you the definitions. Number one, the 17th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Number two, number two, the third note of the diatonic scale. Number three, an interjection used to express dismay. Number four, a Chinese unit of distance, meaning one-third of a mile. And number five, the spiritual self in Egyptian religion. So these are all two-letter words I am looking for, and I give you the definitions. Number one, the 17th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Number two, the third note of the diatonic scale. Number three, interjection used to express dismay. Number four, Chinese unit of distance, meaning roughly one-third of a mile. And number five, the spiritual self in Egyptian religion. I'll give you each one guess. Josh?
Go ahead.
I would say the third note would be me.
That is correct.
It was you. And the 17th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Pei.
That's correct also.
Sometimes spelled P-E or P-E-H.
Right. They have the white person's, Protestant version of it. Okay. The third note of the diatonic scale, yes, is me. Correct. If you know the sound of music, you would have figured that out. And so the ones we have left are interjection used to express dismay, Chinese unit of distance, meaning roughly one-third of a mile, and the spiritual self in Egyptian religion. They all have two-letter answers. Okay? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello? Nobody? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is it I?
It is you.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so I've got, I believe, two answers and two questions.
Okay.
Got a full stock. Okay, so answer number one for the Beatles song, Perverted, is from While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Right. Oh, well done. Congratulations.
Nice. Very good.
Love that song. The exclamation could, I the two-letter exclamation could either be oi, O-Y, or I, A-I.
Oi is correct.
Oh, I, okay. And then question number one is, why do Converse sneakers have a layer of fuzz on the bottoms when you first get them?
Why do Converse sneakers have a layer of fuzz on the bottom when you first get them?
I feel ripped off. None of my Converse had a layer of fuzz. Where's the fuzz? Is it on the sole of the shoe?
Yeah, it's just like a little bit of like lint. It's not really it's not really integral to a shoe's performance, but it's a very sneaky reason why it's on there.
And the bottom, are they still made of rubber?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been wearing Converse in a long time, so I had to ask.
Is it maybe for static electricity purposes as a means to stop status or static electricity?
No, they're really cheap, which is why they put it on there. It's so they can import them as sneakers. Or not sneakers. Oh, my God. It's so they can import them as slippers, which are cheaper.
Wow.
But these are the legit. So these are not knockoffs. These are the legit Converse.
No, these are Converse.
Right.
These are real Converse.
Okay.
Yes. They import them as slippers.
Interesting. Huh. Okay.
And then my second question, I doubt you will get because it's extremely nerdy and not like computer nerdy either.
Have you met
Straight
Tara?
Up fantasy.
Yeah, we're pretty nerdy here, so.
Well, I did ask a question last time I was on here.
About Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
Plus I. All right, so this one. Who are the seven sons of Feanor? This is not strictly from Lord of the Rings. It's from the Silmarillion.
Right. I continue to have not read that collection of side characters.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
And I strongly suspect Josh.
I haven't even read Lord of the Rings.
However, you are welcome to leave that question out for people to call in about.
Maybe my husband will call in. He gets upset.
Does he? Okay.
Well, not upset,
All right.
but I walk in, the first thing he says is, I knew that.
All right, so we'll ask you to give the question again to our audience, and then we're going to put you on hold, okay?
Okay.
All right, so go ahead.
Who are the seven sons of Feanor? And this answer can be found in the Silmarillion.
All right. Well, stay on the line, okay?
All right.
Thank you very much. And Kira, it is your turn.
Already. Okay. Well, this one is more for you, Dana, so you can...
Are you ready? See.
Oh, no, it totally is. It totally is. Most of this takes place well before I was born and some before my parents were born, so
that's
totally for you.
What a slam.
What?
What a
no,
slam.
I'm not saying it was before, or it was after you were born.
All right, fine.
I'm not saying you're 100, but... okay, so there are 19 on-screen duos or pairs of actors who have starred in at least two unrelated movies together, whose movies together combined have grossed more than $1 billion at the domestic box office, and that's adjusted. So according to their earning power, who are the top 10 duos of all time? And as a quick note, I will say that stars of a franchise don't count unless they were also in at least two other non-related movies.
So wait a minute now. The first part confused me just a little bit. So these aren't necessarily series films. They happen to be films that had the same two
actors. Right. And series films don't count unless the actors in these series films were also in at least two other non-series films together. So like Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox wouldn't count because they were only ever in the Back to the Future trilogy.
Right.
Future.
So you're not... Oh, it's funny. I immediately went to male and female duos, but you didn't say that,
did
you?
Oh, no. It's... No. No.
Yeah. All right. I'm still going to start with Bogart and Bacall because they should be on the list even if they're not.
I don't know if they grossed...
I know. That's what I... But they made a lot of movies.
That's why you can't go too old on this.
Yeah.
Adjusted.
No, she said adjusted.
Oh, adjusted.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's some older... Just a few older.
Like if I said William Powell and Myrna Loy, that probably would not be on there.
Only because they're number 11 and I asked for the top 10.
Yeah.
What else did they do besides the Thin Men?
Oh, they did about five or six different movies.
Oh, really? All right.
Would you like to guess what the most or their biggest hit domestically was?
Not a Thin Man?
Mm-mm.
It's not a Thin Man. The Great Ziegfeld.
Yep, that is correct.
Dana.
Oh, yeah, I know.
What about Bogart and Bacall? Did I get a bell for that or not?
I'm afraid not. They don't appear to be on the list at all.
So,
man.
All right. How can I ask this? How far back are we going with the top 10?
All right.
If I said Nelson Eddy and Jeanette McDonald.
Would be number 9. Would you like to tell us what their biggest grossing hit was?
Just be guessing.
Naughty Mary.
Rosemary.
No. I'll tell you it's 1937.
Sweethearts.
Nope.
No, that's 38. Maytime.
Yes, that's correct.
All right.
All right. I guess I...
So that's the furthest back you go, is the...
Yes, that was the farthest back. There is one, two, there are three. Sorry, there are three that are not much more recent.
Unrelated. Just happened to be co-starring.
All right, I'm going to keep trying this. I mean, what about Spencer Tracy and Catherine Hepburn?
That's good.
Yes, number six.
Okay. Poor man's Bogart and Bacall.
Care to guess their biggest hit together?
Sure. I would guess Adam's Rib.
Mm-mm. No. Okay.
This one was remade.
Oh.
With part of the title, not the full title. You don't get the full title in the 2000s.
Woman of the Year.
Patton Mott.
Remade with Bernie Mac and Ashton Kutcher, if
really?
Memory serves.
Oh, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Yep. Yeah. Remade as Guess Who, I think.
God, I still didn't... Yeah, all right.
But yes, but you got
all right.
I got
a bell.
Is Leonardo DiCaprio on there and Kate Winslet? I think they made two movies.
One
was an awfully big hit.
Yeah, actually, there are two people on the list of 19 that only had to have two movies together to reach the billion-dollar mark. And though they are not in the top 10, they're number 17. They were one of those two duos. So.
And what else did they do together?
Revolutionary.
Oh, right.
So,
all right, good.
All right, leave it out. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Good.
So the Chinese measure, which is about half a kilometer, is Li, or L-I.
That is correct.
Li. That's correct?
Excellent.
Very good. And the Egyptian, of course, I have to know that, but I should not be Egyptian. Actually, they had two. One is the Ba, B-A, and one is the Ka. And it's very much like spirit.
Right.
You know, you're twin.
Ka spirit. Is correct.
So when you die, your Ba or Ka continue, doesn't die. And actually, really, I believe in that. I don't think people die at the point of death. I think life continue from physics point of view, not from a spiritual point of view. I think that time continue. Okay, so I have two questions for you. One is simple math problem, which most people cannot answer. Most adults cannot answer in less than a minute. If you divide 33 and one-third divided by one-third, 33 and one-third divided by one-third. What is the answer?
100.
Very good. Very good. You're ahead of a lot of people. Okay. That's the second question.
That's why they're on the show.
Woo!
Very quickly, very quickly. You did very good. You guys are very smart. Okay. I totally think that Trump thing about Jerusalem was kind of stupid. It's going to harm both Israelis and Palestinians. But my question to you was, I love language. And I told you many times about, you know, what is the name of Deborah and Nora and so on. What about Jerusalem? What does it mean? In both old Semitic language, old Hebrew and old Arabic and old Aramaic, what does it mean? Jerusalem. It has a beautiful name.
Yeah.
So is Salam sort of like Shalom or so like peace probably?
Right, right.
Yeah, but how do you we see what happened. The Greeks totally damaged that translation. From all of us, old language.
Is the Jeru is that gonna end up being sort of like Jesu, like Jesus?
No,
no? Okay, no, they were much older.
Because it predates that.
Yeah, sorry.
It's really beautiful, and the more people understand the whole language, will have no conflict between anybody of any religion.
So is it
okay? Jerusalem, you know, if you cut it in pieces, it means door, which is, you know, the Greeks changed the D into J as they did with any other thing, like Yah as well. Became J, so it's door, and E-L, which is the, and Salam, or Shalom, Dar es Salam, which is the door, or the gate of peace, and peace we have not. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We need to get more people to really understand all language, and kick the Greeks out of it, and we'll have far more peace in the world as a whole. Thank you very much. Happy holidays.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
What that half bell for Shalom there? Thank you.
All right. And, Josh, I think it's your turn.
Okay, I have a sports question that I've been sitting on for a while, waiting to...
Is there no humiliation I am spared tonight?
You'll do fine. Would you quit your whining? You know what year Rosemary came out. You're not in any danger. I was saving this up for Lori, but I haven't been on the show with Lori for a while. Right. And this I have to give credit for. This is from a sports geography quiz. I don't know if you took this quiz, and if you did, you should recuse yourself. Created by a guy named Dan Wall, who lives down in the peninsula somewhere, who I don't know, but it was a great quiz. And he had this question, which I liked, so I'm stealing it. The New York Islanders, the hockey team, are aptly named because they play on Long Island.
So far, so good.
I thought it was good. My question for you is, what are the other two NHL franchises that play on islands? Not so snippy now, smart guy.
So they could easily be Canadian, NHL. That they have Canadian teams in the NHL, don't they?
Okay, yes. Yes, they do.
Okay, all right. Don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and...
I'll give you that assist.
All right, thanks.
You know this because you played the...
I didn't play it, but I did look.
Yeah, okay.
Well, if you know it.
She knows it from...
I honestly don't even know that I'd go so far as to say that I remember the answer, but I did at least see it. So.
Okay.
So this is not reflected in their names. They just happen to play on islands.
That's right. Yeah, no, because it would be weird if there were two different teams named the Islanders.
All right.
There's the New York Islanders who play on Long Island. There's two other teams in the National Hockey League that play on island but are not named the Islanders.
There's no hockey team in Hawaii, I'm assuming.
That is correct.
Okay. Islands. How about the Vancouver? Was it the Vancouver Canucks?
That is a hockey team, but there's no
evidence. It's not an island? Oh, that's a peninsula.
Vancouver's not an island, no.
All right. There is a Vancouver island, though.
Yes, but that's not where the Canucks play.
It may have played there at one point. I don't know.
At least not as far as I
know. All right.
All right. Anyway, that's the question. Dana has whiffed on it to mix my sports metaphors, so we leave it out to the listeners. What are the two National Hockey League teams besides the New York Islanders who play their home games on islands?
Okay. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. I hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m., whether I do well or not. And our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace from the San Francisco Chronicle, their classical music critic Joshua Cosman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. The two numbers to join us here are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Yeah, this is John from Bernal Heights.
Hi, John.
And Rick here in the house tells me that Montreal is an island.
Yes, and what team plays there?
Very good.
Yeah, he's the hockey aficionado.
Canadians.
Question I would be willing to answer. When I heard Eid, I knew Ka was going to be taken.
Yes.
And also Lee or Lu, I can't, my Mandarin's not up to what it used to be. The question I have is, who is America's most produced playwright?
Well, if you go, so this is professional and non-professional. It could be a production, either one, correct?
I'm not quite sure how the New Yorker and a few other places have come up with this.
Well, for instance, I asked that because if you took in like high school and college plays and all that,
I think this is professional theatrical companies.
You would think Thornton Wilder for our town.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which is the most done play, I think, in the U.S.
I believe this. They were trying the 2017-2018 season. So that's leading me to believe these are the productions of...
But it could be anywhere in the United States.
That kind of thing.
Anywhere in the U.S., but a professional production.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And we're looking for an American playwright.
An American play. Yeah. Yeah.
Neil Simon?
No.
Mm.
All right, I'm going to give a hint. And maybe an audience member will come up with it if you don't. there's a show on KLW in the morning called Sunday Mornings, To the Best of Our Knowledge. That's where this information came to me.
Oh.
And then I followed it up with a little Google researching.
Hmm. So is this person still alive?
Oh, yeah, very much.
And it's he's a straight playwright and not, or he or she is non-musical, basically.
I didn't say he.
That's right. Okay, you didn't say he.
I said playwright. Not musicals, no.
Okay.
If we're talking, you know, speaking plays, yes.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. Stumped.
Huh. Still alive.
Very much alive.
Yeah. And I was even, the follow-up question is, where does this person live?
Oh.
It's going to be embarrassing. San Francisco, yeah.
As a matter of fact, San Francisco is the answer, yeah.
San Francisco?
Playwright. What's in San Francisco?
Should I give it or leave it out for the audience? Or
Can you give us one more hint of any kind?
Yeah. All right. It is a woman.
All right.
A female playwright who lives in San Francisco, and we're not thinking of her. This is shameful.
And at least according to, as I say, a New Yorker article and this NPR program, To the Best of Our Knowledge, and, you know, I guess some survey by the American Association of Theatrical Companies or, you know, whatever their group is.
Are these adult plays, or could they be also
Yeah. It's not like kids' theater, no.
Okay. Female.
It's
playwright.
Not like Fun Home. That was only one. I don't know that she's.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, no. I was just wondering about Fun Home.
So this has.
No. Yeah. Oh, I know. You're, what is
Bechdel,
it? Alison Bechdel? No.
Yeah.
No.
So, all right.
I don't know.
Still very much alive. All right.
Should I give it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Okay. It is Lauren Gunderson. Lauren Gunderson.
Okay.
Yeah. I was amazed, you know, because it says this is the most produced playwright you have never heard of, probably never heard of, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Huh.
Good to know. We'll have to look into this. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. All right. I'm going to give you two questions here. What three European countries are named after rivers?
Okay. Is that, are we waiting
that
for
this? That is one question.
Okay.
I'll give each one a guess. What three European countries are named after rivers?
Portugal for the Porto?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to have to think about this. Nothing's coming rushing to mind. Go ahead.
Sorry. No, it was a
take
city.
Another crack.
It's a city. It was a city.
I
got excited.
Named after rivers. All right. Give me the other one.
All right. What three European countries are named after rivers? Second question. I'm going to give you five words, and I want you to put them in historical order. I did this last week, version of it, and from oldest to newest. Okay, so put these words in historical order.
Turns out emoji is from like the 14th century, and I always get it wrong.
All right, number one, brownout. Number two, passive aggressive, which is really two words. Number three, minimalistic. Number four, accessorize. And number five, dysfunctional. So I want you to put these words in order from the oldest to the newest. Number one, brownout. Number two, passive-aggressive. Number three, minimalistic. Number four, accessorize. Number five, dysfunctional. And you have to give me as a group.
As a group. What do you think, Kira? I mean, they all feel like
fairly recent,
circa, you know, 1973 or something.
I feel like the psychological ones are going to come first, though.
Sounds good. How about passive aggressive first? We can do this as a team, right?
Yes.
Passive aggressive first, I think.
You're already wrong.
I was already wrong when I woke up this morning.
I feel like it's going to be either minimalistic or dysfunctional, because minimalistic is an artistic enough term, and it's from, I don't know.
Sure,
okay, I'm going to start with minimalistic, and then maybe dysfunctional, passive-aggressive, accessorized brownout?
No.
Okay.
I would say just what she said, except swapping brownout and accessorize.
No.
Okay. All right. I don't know.
So again, two questions are, what three European countries are named after rivers? I had to check that Portugal one, but it wasn't on the list. And second question, put these words in historical order from oldest to newest. Brownout, passive-aggressive, minimalistic, accessorize, and dysfunctional. And let's go to a call.
Wait a minute. Before we do.
Oh, sorry.
I just want to, I've never heard of this or thought of this, but is Moldova named after the Moldau?
That is a, no, it's not named after the Moldau. It is named after the Moldova River.
There's a different river that has the same name?
Yes.
Amazing. All right, yes. But Moldova is one of them.
That is one of them.
Okay.
That is correct. Moldau is in...
I know. I knew it. That's why I wasn't sure. It's in Bohemia.
Right. And, all right, I'm sorry. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter, Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
For the Beatles words, I can't think of the lyric, but Lemonade sure sounds like it comes from Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
It does sound like, doesn't it? But it doesn't. It isn't. Get your hand off the bell.
All right.
It's close, but not quite right. I agree with you that it's a tempting guess, but it's not correct. It's,
right.
There are marmalade skies, there are oranges, but no lemonade.
All right. Well, Bosnia comes from the Bosna River.
That is correct.
Can't pull out the third one, though.
All right. That's all right.
I have a question.
Yes.
What do these three things have in common? The chair that Abraham Lincoln was sitting in at Ford's Theater, the limousine that JFK was sitting in Dealey Plaza.
Bad jokes are coming here.
And the bus that Rosa Parks was sitting in when she refused to give up her seat.
Wow. I was going to say two of them are blood spattered. Yeah.
Are they all at the Smithsonian?
No, not the Smithsonian.
So, they're all in the same collection somewhere?
They're all at the Civil Rights Museum.
Oh.
No.
Oh. They're all owned by the Hard Rock now.
Yeah, right.
Luckily, no.
So, but they're all in the same place?
All in the same place.
And it's not the Civil Rights Museum, and it's not the Smithsonian?
No.
And it's not the one that just opened
No, it's been open for
Mississippi,
many years.
Alabama. I'm sorry, you said what?
The museum they're in has been open for many years.
Is it a presidential library, maybe? Like it's in a...
No.
Okay.
Is this in the United States?
It is. North Central.
Oh.
So Chicago-ish?
Ish.
Chicago-ish.
But only ish.
Only ish. Different state.
Indiana?
No.
No, okay.
North.
North. Oh, well, then that would either be Wisconsin or
Minnesota or Wisconsin
would seem the logical. Or Michigan, yeah.
Michigan, yes.
Okay.
They're in Michigan.
Oh, well, that's more northeast.
Detroit?
Outside of Detroit.
Are they in that Henry Ford...
The Henry Ford Museum?
You got it, in Dearborn.
Dearborn, okay.
Yes. Henry Ford Museum of Americana.
All right, interesting.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, and next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, it's Fran in San Francisco.
Hi, Fran.
Hi. I want to give you four names, first names. Carolyn, Shirley, Jack, and Tom. These are famous actors or singers who have the same last name.
Jones.
Yes. Carolyn, Shirley, Jack, and Tom.
Excellent.
Very good.
Nice.
Sorry.
That's right.
Benny King, the singer, before he went on his own, was the lead singer of what famous group?
The Drifters.
Drifters?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Can I do one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it's rock and roll. What group sang the song "I Ain't Gonna Eat Out My Heart Anymore"? 60s group.
That's a new one on me. Huh. Now you stumped us.
I'm afraid we don't know
that
one.
They also sang Good Lovin'.
Good Lovin' was...
Yeah, it was a famous group. You know, it's an American group.
Not me.
I'm singing it to myself in my head, but...
I ain't gonna eat out my heart anymore. The Rascals.
Okay.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We're a little past halfway through the show. Let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, you go first.
All right. So earlier we learned that Ronald McDonald won a Razzie for Worst Actor. I kind of want to say it was Supporting Actor now. I should check. Anyway, he won a Worst Acting Razzie for his participation in a 1989 flop. So I need to know the name of the movie. And also, for more than 15 years, what actor has regularly appeared on Conan O'Brien to show a clip from this movie instead of one from whatever film he happens to be promoting at the time? And then I asked about on-screen duos, which are pairs of actors who have co-starred in at least two unrelated movies together, whose movies combined have grossed more than $1 billion at the domestic box office, and that's adjusted. So I wanted to know the top 10 screen duos of all time, and we already have Josh got Tracy and Hepburn, and Dana got McDonald and Eddie. So looking for eight more.
The on the first question, this actor did not play Ronald McDonald, though.
No, he has nothing to do with this movie. He just keeps bringing it on instead of whatever he's promoting.
Okay. And it's not Leonard Part 6, is it? Is that Bill Cosby movie?
No, it's not.
Okay. All right. It's not a Bill Cosby movie, is it?
It's not.
Okay.
Are there others?
Yeah,
Ghost Dad.
Oh, Ghost Dad, right.
And he was in a movie with Richard Pryor that was unwatchable. I don't even remember what it was called.
Okay, I'm sorry. So that's it for you, right?
Yeah.
And Josh.
I'm looking for the Beatles songs that contain the following words in their lyrics: Lemonade, Colder, and Teaser. Also looking for NHL franchises that play on islands like the New York Islanders, but other than them. Montreal Canadiens is one. There's one other one. It's really the more obvious of the two, but somebody got Montreal. And that's all I got.
All right. And let's see. What do we have here? The three European countries that are named after rivers. So far we have Bosnia, which is the Bosnia, Moldova, which is the Moldova. And there's one more on that list. And I want you to put these words in historical order, if you would, from oldest to newest. Brownout, passive-aggressive, minimalistic, accessorize, and dysfunctional. And if you would indulge me just for a second here, I have an opera question, and since we only got 15 minutes left, I'm going to ask it.
Well, then, real quick, can I take a whack? Is Russia the third one for the ruse?
It is not.
Okay. Sorry, don't mind me then.
No, yeah. Okay. Russia was named, well, the ruse were the people.
The ruse are a people, yeah.
People. And then the name of the river came after that, but the Rus are the people. And in what operas do these real people appear?
Okay.
Number one.
How many you got?
Just four.
Okay.
Number one, William Jennings Bryan. Number two, Emperor Claudius, as in I, Claudius.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Vasco da Gama. And number four, King John of England. So, in what operas do these real people appear? Number one, William Jennings Bryan. Number two, Emperor Claudius. Number three, Vasco da Gama, the explorer. And number four, King John of England. And I'll give you...
All right. So, William Jennings Bryan appears in Douglas Moore's opera, The Ballad of Baby Doe.
That is correct.
Which they performed here, I want to say memorably, but sort of forgettably. About 10 years
always
ago.
Always the critic.
Yeah. Vasco da Gama, I've never seen this opera, but I think he's in Meyerbeer's opera L'Africaine.
That is correct.
And I'll stop there.
All right. Do you know the other two?
No.
All right.
King John. I mean, There's an opera about Richard the Lionheart by Grétry, which I've never seen, and maybe King John appears there.
That one. It's strange that he's only actually listed as being in this one opera, because there are operas that deal with the same time and place that he's not featured in. But no. And there's quite the composer is quite well known. So I'm sorry. So the ones we have left, in what operas do these real people appear? Emperor Claudius, as in I, Claudius, and King John of England. And, okay, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Debbie in Richmond.
Hi, Debbie.
And I have answers, I hope. for the film duos, and I also have a guest for the Beatles song.
Yes.
So for the film duos, how about Paul Newman and Robert Redford?
Oh, of course.
Yes, and in fact, they are the other screen duo that only took two movies to reach that billion-dollar mark.
Wow.
Yep. So number seven.
Fantastic. I have another guest for them, but for the film duo, but I don't think they made enough money. But I was thinking of Gene Hackman and Richard Pryor. They were in Silver Streak together. And
Gene Wilder.
Yeah. You said Gene Hackman, and
Gene Wilder.
Went,
what?
Well, they were in Superman. Was it Superman 3 together?
Know.
So it was legit.
I like Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor. I mean, a lot of movies, but probably, as she says, not enough
money. Maybe they didn't make them.
Yeah, that is
correct. They're not on the list. Okay. And then for the Beatles song, I have two different ideas.
Okay.
One is Savoy Truffle.
For which word?
For the, I thought they were all three, and I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Lemonade.
Yeah, no, Savoy Truffle is not any of them, actually.
Oh, okay. And what about Glass Onion?
No.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. And Kira, it's your turn.
Okay. So I have three questions on world capitals, and they'll get easier. So hardest first. The name of what capital city is derived from the Akan language's word for ants and refers to the numerous ant hills in the city's countryside. So it's the hardest one.
What was the name of the language?
Akan. A-K-A-N.
Okay.
A-K-A-N. Okay.
Sure.
And then the name of what world capital is derived from an Egyptian word that likely came to us through Greek or Turkish and that meant star, to teach, and wisdom. But not picture it Sicily 1912. And finally, it's likely that the name of what world capital city is derived either from a Celtic word meaning cleft or from the Middle High German name for Verona, Italy, and not from the name of the animal that the city uses as its heraldic symbol.
Are they going to get easier soon?
Sorry.
Is that... Okay. It's not Bern by...
It is, yes.
All right.
Huh. Bern Bear.
Yes.
So it's either from Verona
or
it's from a Germanic word
Bern,
meaning cleft.
Huh.
Yes. Interesting.
And the first one, should I dangerously assume that it's in Africa?
You may.
All right.
I was going to say, it's probably Bujumbura, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
And would you read the other two again?
The name of what capital city is derived from the Akan language's word for ants and refers to the numerous ant hills in the city's countryside. The other one is the world capital whose name is derived from an Egyptian word that likely came to us through Greek or Turkish and that meant star or to teach or wisdom.
So you would only get the anthills in the drier parts of Africa, so you figured it's in mid to northern Africa, probably.
Okay.
Am I correct? It is in mid to northern Africa?
I will give you that.
How about Nouakchott?
Nope.
That's not, not a bad guess. Okay. I'm working on that.
Oh, okay. you work on it some more.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in the out in the ether.
Hi, Tom.
And hi. Let's see. How about the one from the capital from Egyptian via the Greek, the one meaning wisdom? Is that Sophia?
It is.
Oh, sure. Gosh, European after all that.
And is the ants one? Is that Dakar?
No.
No, just a guess.
Geographically, okay. You're getting closer though.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I'll leave it out. The five words in historical order. I'll take a shot at that.
All right.
Let's see.
From oldest to newest. Please.
Oldest and newest. Okay, I'll go minimalistic, accessorize, passive aggressive, dysfunctional, and brownout.
No.
Darn.
Will you at least let us know if minimalistic is the first word?
It is not.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Teaser for the Beatles lyric, mm-hmm. That's in Drive My Car.
No. Close, but
no?
Not right. Good guess.
Oh, Day Tripper.
There you go.
Right.
She's a
there
big teaser.
To,
she
yeah,
took me half the way
teaser.
There. Yep.
Yeah. And I'll guess on Lemonade. Is that from the benefit, being for the benefit of Mr. Kite?
No. Good guess, but no. Wrong.
Shoot. on-screen duos. We'll take some shots at those.
Please
how
do.
About Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau?
Oh, they're a good guess.
That is a good guess. I don't actually see them on my list. No.
Ah, okay, how about Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan?
Also a good guess.
That's who I was thinking, but...
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm looking in the all 19, too. No.
Hmm. No. And I think that's... Yep, that's all I've got.
All right.
Well, I could guess Keanu Reeves and Dennis Hopper, but I don't think... I don't think their two movies grossed a billion.
No, afraid not.
So if you could guess their two movies, that'd be...
I was going to say, what movies are we talking about? Keanu Reeves and Dennis Hopper?
Yes. Two great movies.
Oh, Speed, right? They're in
Speed. Speed is one, very good.
And then...
Not Speed.
Speed and...
Speed 2. No,
no,
can't use that.
Keanu Reeves was not...
That's
Keanu
right, Dennis
Reeves
Hopper
not
was
in
Oh, that's
Speed
right. He, neither was Dennis Hopper.
Probably not.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
This Roger Ebert's favorite movie of 1986.
Wait, he didn't... Oh, they weren't in Parenthood together.
That
was the 89
anyway.
That's
a good guess,
no,
that's
it was like
right.
89 anyway or something
yeah.
like that.
Keanu Reeves, but not Dennis Hopper.
Right. And I don't think Keanu Reeves is in that Super Mario Brothers movie, right? That was Dennis Hopper alone. Was it a real favorite movie of 86? Or Zero Star?
It was his favorite movie. I think he named it his number one favorite movie of 86.
It's a little earlier than Bill and Ted.
Yeah, and I think it was Keanu's first.
Movie. Of course, it's River's Edge.
River's Edge, very good.
Oh, very good.
Right.
Fantastic. Thanks.
Thank you.
Great show.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Nick in San Francisco.
Hi, Nick.
Hi. I've been scooped by a couple of things, but I think I might have some answers.
Okay.
The NHL Island team,
mm-hmm.
Being a New Yorker, I think the New York Rangers qualify.
That is correct.
Oh, all right.
Manhattan's still an island.
Mm. Yeah. And for movie pairs, would Hope and Crosby qualify?
Oh, I like the way you think. Though.
Yes, number 8.
Well done.
See, why didn't I get that? Oh, well.
Yeah. And also in the same vein, what about Martin and Lewis?
Yes, number 2.
Uh-oh. Well, how about Abbott and Costello, then?
Number 1.
Really?
That was my... You beat me to it. That
oh,
was
I'm
my
sorry.
Number 1, Abbott and Costello.
Good.
Excellent.
Okay, thanks. That's
thank
it.
You. What about Laurel and Hardy?
Yeah, number 3.
Wow.
See, I told you this is like your range of movies.
I just needed somebody to open the door just a little bit.
Yes.
So. And Josh, you have a very quick question?
I don't. I have a lot of lists, and I have another sports geography question. So,
is that a long question?
No, it's a short one.
All right, go
All
ahead.
All right. So in the NBA, we've got the Toronto Raptors who have the phrase, "We the North." But there's actually two NBA teams who are located further north than Toronto. What are they?
Whoa. Further north.
Well... Let's see. I'm trying to think of like how far, like because Toronto is
pretty
south, and
south.
So
yeah.
there's
yeah.
a lot of.
So they have a lot of nerve.
So the Winnipeg something or other.
No, this is now we're in
this
now we're in basketball.
Yeah, So this would be. I think I'm trying to think of Boston where Boston lines up, and I don't know of any teams more north than Boston in New England. So I'll say the Boston whatever they are.
It is not
Celtics,
the Boston
Celtics.
The Boston Celtics.
Is this in the United States?
Celtics.
Yeah, all the NBA teams are in the. Not the Toronto. No,
sure.
Toronto Raptors
there
are not.
See?
Okay, all right. Sorry. No, yes, these are both both American teams.
Okay.
So one more time. The NBA's Toronto Raptors use the phrase, "We the North," but there are actually two current NBA teams that are situated further north than Toronto. What are they?
So is Seattle further north than Toronto?
No. Yes, it is, but they don't have
an NBA team
anymore.
All right. And what about Minnesota? Wisconsin? Milwaukee's pretty far north.
Milwaukee's not it.
All right. Minnesota. All right. I don't think there's anything in the Dakotas or Montana.
Give the callers a shot
All right.
at this.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Janusz.
Hi, Janusz.
Among my Barbirolli recordings is Castelnuovo Tedesco's King John.
Oh, that's not the one I had, but I will
it isn't?
Cheerfully
it's,
accept
it's
your...
It's called King John. Yes. I mean, he's in the title. but I just very quickly want to say that the Lauren Gunderson thing is absolutely amazing. It's just... I've been looking up ever since, and she's 35. She has 27 plays being performed.
Wow.
You know, she lives in San Francisco. I saw only one of her plays, a very good one, San Francisco Playhouse, had Bauer, the artist.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you take away Christmas Carol and plays by Shakespeare, she did end up on top this year. And last year, she was number two after August Wilson. So, you know, this program has just achieved a new high. Thank you, and
right.
Happy holidays.
Thanks, Janusz.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi there. I am, this is Scott in the Sunset, and I'm calling about the Beatles lyric.
Mm-hmm. All right,
and I had Day Tripper, but that one was taken. But how about Rain?
For what word?
Oh, for lemonade.
Yeah, exactly. Good. So when the rain comes, they sit inside and drink their lemonade. Well done.
Got it. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, John from Bernal Heights back.
Hi, John.
I think I have your opera.
Okay.
Sir Arthur Sullivan's Ivanhoe.
That is correct.
Oh, in my
sure.
recording of it.
Excellent.
Good.
I think it's the only, maybe Josh knows more about that. I think it's the only, so quote, serious opera he ever wrote, but I could be wrong on that.
I don't know about only, but it certainly is the one. You've probably got the same recording I've got that came out about 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, from the BBC.
Exactly.
I think one of the,
yeah.
Very good.
Okay. Good
thanks,
night.
John.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, for the Beatles, word colder, is that in Hey Jude?
It is in
Hey
Jude.
Oh,
well
very good.
Done. That's the
thank,
thank you.
Good
thank
job.
You, yeah.
Thanks.
Conversation with my girlfriend yesterday, so that helped. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, time to clean up here. Kira?
All right. So Ronald McDonald was featured in the movie Mac and Me, which was sort of an E.T. knockoff.
Oh, yeah.
A clip
I've
of which
seen that part
Paul
of that.
Rudd brings with him every time he is on Conan.
The kid's in a wheelchair.
Yeah, and falls off a cliff.
Yes, that's right. Okay, great. Yes.
Sorry.
And hilarity ensues right. when the kid in the wheelchair falls
off a cliff. Yeah. So the screen duos that are left in the top 10, we've got Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson.
Oh, sure.
Chris Evans and Scarlett Johansson. Okay. And Bill Murray and Harold Ramis.
Okay.
And finally, the African capital city, whose name is derived from the Kan language's word for ants and refers to the numerous anthills in the city's countryside, that is Accra.
Oh.
Okay. And Josh?
Well, we swept the Beatles songs, and so the only thing I have left is this NBA question, which I just threw out there and nobody got. The two teams that are further north in Toronto are the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Portland Trailblazers.
Mm.
Done.
All right. The other European country named after a river is Lithuania, the Litvana River. The Emperor Claudius from I, Claudius, appears in Agrippina by Handel.
Sure.
The words in historical order. All right. Dysfunctional, 1936. Accessorize, 1939. Brownout, 1941. Passive aggressive, 1945. And minimalistic, 1947.
Ooh, you're slicing them very fine on that list.
I know. If we get if we did not get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Please join us next Sunday at that same time. And my thanks to our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, Joshua Cosm from the San Francisco Chronicle. And I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. My thanks to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And, of course, my thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody, and have a great holiday season. Take care. Bye-bye.